Continuing in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. So you may turn there in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5. Let me read, I'm going to read just from the beginning of the chapter just to review what we've been through already. Now when he saw the crowds, that's Jesus, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." That's what we're focusing on this morning. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. According to a newspaper column by Bill Farmer, J. Upton Dixon was a fun-loving fellow who said he was writing a book entitled Cower Power. He also founded a group of submissive people. It was called Doormats. That stands for Dependent Organization of Really Meek and Timid Souls, if there are no objections. Their motto was, "The meek shall inherit the earth," if that's okay with everybody. Their symbol was the yellow traffic light. That's the opinion that many people have of meekness and what it means. They think that Jesus must have meant this when he said that the meek are the blessed or the happy, that it's this kind of weakness and timidness. What was Jesus speaking of when he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth"? We don't think of the meek inheriting the earth. What our world says is that good guys finish last. Powerful political positions are gained not by gentleness, but by accusations and by making the other guy look bad. It's the way our world works in attaining power. So what is this meekness that Jesus talks about? Blessed are the meek. If you look in an English dictionary, it says that it's characterized by patience and long-suffering. That's the first definition. The second definition, deficient in spirit and courage. The second definition is certainly not what Jesus was referring to in his verse. Not the meek and mild idea. So what is meekness? I'd like to say this morning that meek is not weak. Those things are not parallel. It's not the same thing, even though the words rhyme with each other. The Bible tells us that Moses was meek. You remember Moses, the one that led the children of Israel out of captivity in Egypt? It says in Numbers 12:3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth." Moses, this great leader, was more meek than anyone else on the face of the earth. How could that be? Moses told powerful Pharaoh to let God's people go from slavery. He led the people through the Red Sea and through the wilderness. He goes up on a mountain to meet face to face with God. He even smashed the tablets that God had written the commandments on when he sees the people sinning by worshiping the golden calf when he comes down off the mountain. But Moses was meek. Jesus was meek. David read a scripture to you this morning from Matthew 11. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle," or meek, "and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so Jesus describes himself as meek. So another thought, when we think of meekness, we might think of the gentle giant. One who has power but is gentle. The scripture here from that Jesus' words here brings out the idea of the big ox and the little ox, as Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Some people say that might be like a training yoke, where a full-grown ox is paired with a young ox to show him how to work, to show that ox how to work and how to plow. And so they're yoked together, and the big ox is meek, is gentle with the little ox, as the little ox is shown how to plow and how to wear the yoke. Jesus is also described in Matthew 21:5 as gentle or meek. It's comes from Isaiah originally, where it says, say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle or meek, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so Jesus is meek. Yet Jesus didn't seem very meek when he threw the money changers out of the temple. Moses led the people through all kinds of experiences. Moses and Jesus were not weak, but it says they're meek. The Greek word for meek had something to do with the point between extreme anger and extreme angerlessness. A meek person was controlled and balanced, getting angry at the right things and at the right time. Doesn't mean that you must have great power to be meek, but it means that whatever power you have is under control. And so an understanding of meekness would be that it's power under control. That's what meekness is. The word here describes relationships between people. And it's a characteristic that will assist in working out problems and disputes and disagreements. Aristotle saw meekness as a virtue between two extremes in which a person becomes angry on the right grounds, against the right things, in the right manner, at the right moment, for the right length of time. As Aristotle described that characteristic, those are the things he said. Now, I struggle a little bit with this part of the definition, because we really seem to have a hard time getting angry in the right way. Jesus, of course, got it right, didn't he? Yeah. Sometimes he blasted the religious leaders. Always he turned his anger toward healing and defending the poor and the broken and the defenseless. When leaders asked Jesus, or at least think it, what right do you have to forgive sins? You remember when Jesus, the paralytic man, was let down through the roof before Jesus, and Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven. Whether they said it out loud or just Jesus knew what they were thinking, the religious leaders are like, who gives you the right to forgive sins? How does Jesus respond? Jesus has the right. He's the Son of God. He responds by healing the paralytic. He says, stand up, take your bed, and walk. When the leaders want to trap him over the Sabbath, what does he do? He heals a crippled man's arm. He says, yeah, I can heal on the Sabbath. Stretch out your arm and let it be whole. Moses, who was the meekest man on the earth, got angry. Sometimes he got it right, but not always. You may remember the incident in his life where God told him, speak to the rock and water will come out for the people. Moses was frustrated. He was angry. He was angry with the people because of all of their complaining. And so he takes his staff and he strikes the rock. He didn't get his anger right that day. God said, nope, that's not it, Moses. And he told Moses, you're not going to go into the promised land. That often seems pretty unfair to me, just to be honest. But that's what God told Moses. He didn't get it right that day. And Moses accepted that. He accepted what God said was going to be the consequence of that. Once again, I think that was part of Moses' meekness. He trusted God in that. So I want to be pretty careful with anger. Injustice in the world, not personal insults, matters to the meek person. There's a concept of power under control, submissive to someone greater, to God. There's also been a letter found from a young soldier in the Peloponnesian Wars of 400 BC who wrote to his fiancée using this same word for meek or gentle. He writes of a gift for his fiancée. He writes about a white stallion. He says this, "The most magnificent animal I have ever seen. He responds obediently to the slightest command. He allows his master to direct him to his full potential. He is a meek horse. Not a shy or plow horse, but a horse with great submissive spirit." That's what he's speaking of. So meekness is power under control. What's required for meekness? How do we get this characteristic in our lives, this characteristic of meekness? And I think maybe on your outline you have an extra space there that I don't think I put up here. But what is meekness? It's gentleness. When we read from Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit, it's listed in some of our versions as gentleness or meekness. It's the same characteristic there. And so the Spirit works this in our lives. But what's required for meekness? First of all, we need to know who we are. Know who you are. How did Moses gain this characteristic in his life? Perhaps it came with being assigned a task that was bigger than he was. Lead my children, Israel, out of Egypt, away from Pharaoh. Could you imagine being given that task? Moses knew that he could not speak well, but God insisted that he go forward with leading the people of Israel out of captivity. Moses often handed responsibility for these people back to God. He said, "They're your people, God. You deal with them." Perhaps Moses learned to be meek after he made a mess by killing the Egyptian. Remember early on, as Moses began to get in contact with his people, he kills an Egyptian guard. He wants to help his people. But he makes a mess of things by his own power. So what do we need to know about ourselves? We need to know, first of all, that we're weak and sinful people. In the Beatitudes here already, we've read about that. We acknowledge our own bankruptcy. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. We acknowledge those things about us. And so knowing who we are, knowing that we're weak and sinful, is important. But to respond with meekness when somebody else tells us about our bankruptcy, that's a little harder, right, than just admitting it ourselves. Meekness, therefore, requires such a view about ourselves as will express itself even in our attitude toward others, as we interact with others. Meekness comes with knowing that we are weak, sinful, imperfect. It's what we talk about when we talk about being poor in spirit. When we've mourned our own sin and our own imperfection, we become much more gracious toward others. I remember before I was a parent, I didn't have the same understanding of parents as I did after I became a parent. And I struggled with the things that parents struggle with. You start to come to a new understanding of, oh, I don't have this all figured out. There's some struggles here. Maybe I have a different view of myself. And that changes how I look at other people and how I relate to other people. The other key here, so the key here is not only that we know that we are weak and sinful, but we're able to admit it. And when that happens, then we're able to realize that we are accepted in Christ. That's the other thing we need to know about ourselves. Not only that we are weak, sinful, imperfect, but also that in Christ we are accepted, even though that's who we are. Jesus said, those who are poor in spirit receive the kingdom of heaven. Those who mourn are comforted. And the meek shall inherit the earth. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Christ accepts us. He knows us. He knows who we are, and He accepts us. Our bulletin this morning tells us, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So we need to know ourselves. We need to know that acceptance. There's great comfort and security in knowing that we're accepted. It's important in our relationships with one another. It's essential in our relationship with God. I know that my wife accepts me, both the good and the bad. Creates freedom in our relationship because I'm accepted. Meekness is rooted in a great confidence that God is for us, not against us. Out of that is able to come meekness. Now, there's probably a Hebrew or Aramaic word that Jesus used when he spoke these Beatitudes. That word also has to do with obedience in accepting God's guidance. And so that's an aspect of what meekness is, trusting God. So we need to know who we are, and we need to trust God in life. Moses learned to trust God. He was able to move forward with going to Pharaoh when he came to trust God for his speech. He had to yield and become submissive to God. A part of being meek is trusting God with the outcomes of our lives. It comes with trusting in all that we encounter, trusting that God is at work and that God is working for our good in everything, in all that comes our way. And so we're able to trust God in what He brings and in what He allows in our lives. That's part of the basis of meekness. And so, as I mentioned, we find it as the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. As we trust God, as we keep in step with the Spirit, the fruit of meekness becomes evident in us. What's the outcome? What's the outcome of meekness? Why was that verse there in Numbers in regard to Moses? Let me turn there and read several more verses from Numbers 12. In Numbers 12, there is a confrontation. Miriam and Aaron, actually Moses' siblings, also leaders here as they leave Egypt. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard us. So they're kind of coming against some things with Moses here. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. It's put in parentheses there in our text. Kind of like, just in the middle of this story, let us tell you what Moses' character was like. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So that the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud, and he stood at the entrance of the tent, and he summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He's faithful in all of my house. When with him I speak face to face. clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them and he left them. When the cloud lifted above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy and said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin that we have foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from her mother's womb with its flesh all eaten away." So Moses cried out to the Lord, "Oh God, please heal her." Moses was a meek man. He didn't need to defend himself and he didn't need to retaliate. He cared about Miriam. So one of the outcomes of meekness is that we don't need to defend ourselves. We don't need to retaliate. He cries out for her healing. In this case, meekness seems to describe someone who depends on God's approval, not on the approval of others. And in this case, it was someone who had displayed great power. I want to relate to you a little fight that Lou Ann and I had. She's thinking, what? I don't remember a fight this week. This is something that I wrote about in a sermon 12 years ago, so I don't even fully remember the incident, but I have the writing about it. So Lou Ann and I had a little fight. I had bought some skis for $10. Now, you know it had to be a little while ago. Obviously, they were some used skis. I don't know where. Maybe it was a yard sale, something. I don't know. When I got home, I found out the bindings were broken. She expressed amazement that I had not checked them before buying them. She said I was gullible. She doesn't remember. Do you remember? That didn't sit too well with me. Like she would have checked if she'd have been there. She assured me that she would have. And I couldn't live with being gullible or unwise. Admitting and agreeing to that was just a little too much for me. So I told her a few things about herself. And the fight was on. I'm telling you, I don't remember the incident, but I had it written. So that's what I'm reading to you. Earlier in the day, I had heard the tail end of a message from Chip Ingram about the destructive emotions of anger and frustration. His point was that they are secondary emotions. There's something underneath. Perhaps a goal has been blocked. In my case, my self-concept couldn't take admitting being gullible. I had to fight back to defend myself. Gull means to make a dupe or to deceive. This, in fact, is what had happened to me. I'd been gullible. Being meek means being able to admit that, yes, I'm imperfect, and that's okay. I'm acceptable to God as I am. In this case, I was even acceptable to my wife that way. It's this kind of meekness that carries over into all relationships with friends and enemies alike. It's that aspect of meekness that we need. Henry Drummond said, "Anger and irritation at other people for not giving us straight A's in our lives is probably responsible for more pain than any other kind of sin." Meekness means knowing who we are, being able to admit it, not needing to defend ourselves or to retaliate. Meekness also means that we become angry over the right things. Like Moses, most of the time. Like Jesus. These words of Jesus here in Matthew 5:5 are most certainly his quote, a quote from Psalm 37:11. Verse 11 in Psalm 37 says, "But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." Speaks there of inheriting the land. Jesus says the meek will inherit the earth. The land was, for the Israelites, God's promise. It was the promise of God's kingdom. Here in the New Testament, as Jesus speaks, it's they will inherit the earth. The earth, the kingdom of God has now come. It's here. The kingdom of God has come to earth. It will come in its fullness when Jesus returns. And so the meek inherit the earth. They enter into God's kingdom. They inherit all that is there. And so as we read Psalm 37, it's clear that appearances often favor the evil, the proud, the powerful. But be patient, because their time will come. And indeed, the gentle, the meek, the righteous do inherit the kingdom. And so I'd like to read for you as we close this morning from Psalm 37. We'll read the first 11 verses, ending with the verse that Jesus seems to be quoting here. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Do you know who you are in Christ? Will you face your own weakness, sinfulness, imperfection? Not so that we can grovel about that, but so that we can receive God's comfort, God's acceptance in our lives. It's only as we drop the mask of perfection that we can really learn how much God loves us. And we put our trust in God. It's one of the most important aspects of meekness, that we're trusting God with everything that comes our way. I'd like to ask the worship team to come forward. So we have a closing song. Please stand. Know who you are in Christ. Trust God with all that you're experiencing in life. Walk with the Spirit. And as we do that, the fruit of meekness will become apparent in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, often we do not trust You. So Lord, help us. Help us to trust You in all that we experience in life. Lord, help us to remember who we are. Lord, we are weak. We're sinful. We're imperfect. And yet in Your great mercy and love through Christ, as we bring all of our weakness and sinfulness to You, You forgive us. You're gracious with us. And when we are weak, Lord, we find that You're strong. So Father, help us to accept that, to know that, to know that we are accepted in You. Lord, may we trust You with all the outcomes of our lives. In Jesus' name.